think of all the conflicts that we talk about, that kind of fear, whether it's kidnapping or extreme alienation, the fear that my kids will be lied to and think poorly of me, and I won't be able to access them. I don't think there's a greater fear.
True.
Than that.
To lose your kids in any number of ways.
Right, exactly.
Hi, I'm Diane Dirks. My colleague Rick Voiles and I have been working with co-parents in conflict for more than two decades. We've taught classes, written books, counseled parents, empathized, agonized, and have blown our tops a few times to help people make sense of their complicated families. We were talking one day and it occurred to me that helping the most difficult cases comes down to one simple concept. Is one parent willing to let go of the tug-of-war rope, or is it worth it to hold on and fight? Our combined years of experience and our practical way of looking at co-parent boundaries makes Rick and I a great team to address some of the most difficult issues facing co-parents today. With our philosophy of either letting go or holding on, there's not a dilemma we can't provide a solution to. In fact, there may be more than one solution. So we invite you to take this journey with us each episode as we tackle the questions, should you hold on or let it go? Thanks for listening.
Welcome to Co-Parent Dilemmas, where we give you practical solutions to those impossible co-parents. I'm Diane Dirks.
I'm Rick Voiles.
Good morning, Rick.
Hey, good morning, Diane. I think people are going to figure out we always do this in the morning.
We always say good morning. Yeah, yes. We do, because we're old and we're sharper in the morning.
I need that cup of coffee in the morning.
Exactly. Yeah. So I want to tell you what I did last night.
Okay.
I did sunset yoga on the beach.
Wow.
With a group of people, because it was St. Patrick's Day and because it was a full moon rising.
Really?
So I'm out on the beach with like 50 people and we go through all these motions. It's the yoga instructor that I regularly go to her classes, and she invited everybody out on the beach. And it was a beautiful night, beautiful day yesterday, beautiful night. And then probably 70, high 60s, 70 by the time we got there in the evening. And did all these gyrations. And then finally laid down on our beach towels for some just breathing and relaxation. And I hear this faint sound of bagpipes in the distance, because it's St. Patrick's Day, right? And coming down the boardwalk and then getting closer and closer and then hearing it right behind you. And then she said, all right, sit up now. And we sat up and you could see the sun was setting on obviously the west side. Coming up over the ocean was the full moon.
Ooh.
Bigger than you can imagine. And it was like, it gave me goosebumps. And you know what I thought in that moment? I thought, what a peaceful, awesome moment. But on the other side of the world, I thought of Ukraine.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. And I thought, oh, how can this be? How can this be right here in this moment, this great sense of peace? So I wanted to just bring that up because I'm very mindful of what's happening in Ukraine.
Yes.
And as we talk about these co-parent issues, sometimes can feel trite. Mm-hmm. And I want our listeners to think about that, that you can get all wrapped up in the little conflict about who gets what when. I deserve one more hour with the children than you have, and I'm going to fight you for it.
Yes, I'm going to get back at you.
I want you to put that in perspective, that there are people fighting for their lives. There are people losing children. So I'm going to put in the show notes some ways that you can contribute to relief for the people in Ukraine, just because I want to honor that. That thought came into my head last night, that we have a responsibility to kind of take care of those who don't get to experience that kind of peace that I experienced last night.
Yes. So, cool.
One of the organizations I really like is a religious organization, actually, but it's UMCOR, United Methodist Corps on Relief. And what I like about them is all the local churches give to the administrative costs. So anybody who donates to UMCOR privately, 100% of that money goes to the cause, which isn't the case with a lot of organizations.
True.
I mean, I love the American Red Cross, but of course they have their admin costs. So I'm going to list some of those in the show notes.
Very good.
I think it's important as we talk about, and you know, everything's relative. So I'm not minimizing the conflicts that we are going to talk about today or in the future, but I do want to take a moment to just kind of put everything in perspective that we've got it pretty darn good.
Yes.
Here. And some of the things you think you need to worry about, take stock a little bit.
Yeah. One of the occupational hazards we have in what we do is we're very sensitive and aware of conflict all around, wherever it is, yeah, and the price that is paid for that conflict.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. So what do we have today, Rick?
Today we have an email from Sean. You want me to read it?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay. Let's see. Email from Sean. My ex-wife wants to take our kids to Mexico. So, okay, this international family, to visit her family this summer. I am very scared that she will stay there because she has threatened to do that before when we were going through our divorce. I brought this up in court, but it didn't seem to matter. Our court order says that she is to keep the passport for the kids. I have to let her know 30 days in advance if I want them for travel. She is also supposed to give me 30 days notice if she is going to travel out of the country. That does not give me much comfort because I don't trust her. The children are only 3 and 5, so I have nightmares about them being taken away for good and not understanding what happened to me. Do I try to do something about this or just hope that she honors the court order? I am losing sleep over this as summer gets closer.
That's a tough one.
Yes, it is a tough one.
Think of all the conflicts that we talk about, that kind of fear, whether it's kidnapping or extreme alienation, the fear that my kids will be lied to and think poorly of me and I won't be able to access them. I don't think there's a greater fear.
True.
Than that.
To lose your kids in any number of ways.
Right, exactly. So my first thought here is he said she has threatened to do that before when we were going through a divorce. So I'm sure he's hearing her voice in his head.
Yes.
Whether that's a valid threat or not, we can't say.
But we are
lots aware of things get threatened when you're going through a divorce, right?
Yes.
In our attempts to hurt the other parent, we become very emboldened about some of the things that we threaten to do, even though we would never do that. So first of all, I want to say to Sean, just because she said that while you were in the midst of a divorce does not necessarily mean she has the guts or the courage or the ability or the family support or any number of things to actually do that.
Yes. We know she's capable. I mean, it's potentially, she's from Mexico. She has family in Mexico. So whether she meant it or not, she could do it.
Yeah, it's within her capacity. It's a real concern. It's a valid concern. And then he mentions that he brought it up in court, but that didn't seem to matter. And I think what I want to say about that is don't lose sleep over what you thought you should have done in court. Because even if the court would have given Sean the passports, that doesn't keep her from committing an illegal act.
Right. Yeah, it wouldn't have made any difference, I don't think.
So court orders are kind of like restraining orders. You can get a restraining order on someone who you think might hurt you, but if they're committed to that more than they are not going to jail, then that restraining order is simply a piece of paper. So if the threat is valid and real, the court order is probably not going to keep her from taking children to another country where she probably can't be found.
Right. Yeah.
So let's put that in perspective. So I hope you're not losing sleep over what you should have gotten in the court order and you didn't get. In the long run, it doesn't really matter. Do you agree with that, Rick?
Yeah. In short, the court can't stop her from doing the illegal thing. So no matter what the court order said, she could still do it.
People defy court orders all the time and then just get their hands slapped.
Right. And she's going to be thinking, what difference does it make? I'm going to be in another country. So
exactly. Exactly. So let's talk about what he might be losing sleep over. What do you think he might be losing sleep over if we take the court stuff out of it?
He says he's afraid. So there's two levels he mentions in here of losing his kids. One, physically they're gone, but two, that they find out or start to believe things about him that aren't true, that he abandoned them, I would guess.
Yeah. So let's talk about, you and I talk a lot about Plan B, mm-hmm. not the birth control method, but Plan B.
I never thought of that.
You're not a woman. Of course. Women yes. must think of these things.
Oh, that's telling, isn't it?
Yeah. You misogynist, you. Plan B, as we talk about it, is what are you going to do when the inevitable happens, right? So yes. What can you do that's completely within your control if the other parent says no to a request, for instance, that you have no control over? Your co-parent has final say on what activities your children are involved in, and you get all flustered when they don't involve the kids in the activities you want them to be involved in. And so we always say you can get all upset about that, but the other parent has the right to make the decision. So all you can do is say, okay, what's my plan B? What am I going to do when he or she doesn't do what I want them to do, but they have the right to do it?
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Is that a good way to explain it?
That's perfect.
Okay. So let's talk about the worst case scenario here, that she is going to do that.
Yep.
How does he prepare for that? And what would he do in the event of that? Because we know from a mental health perspective, if you can know what you're going to do in the worst case scenario, that can reduce your anxiety in the moment, in the present.
Yes.
Yeah.
One of the things I do with folks, just in conflict management, right? Because I do that a lot, is don't argue with someone about their fear. Don't try and talk them out of it. That just becomes a power struggle or a perception struggle between you and them. Oh, that's not going to happen. Oh, come on, would she really do? No, go the other way. Dive into the fear. Yes, that is what is going to happen. So what are we going to do when it does? And then you have a plan. And that makes things at least a little better.
And we're going to talk about it in this context of Sean's question, but I think it applies to 100 other different scenarios.
Yeah.
As far as the fears that we have of what the other parent might do.
Yes.
You know? So I think it would be helpful to walk our listeners through a sort of a protocol that you go through. Okay. Rather than being afraid of this, let's talk about what we're going to do if it does happen.
Yep.
In Sean's case, I would like to talk about how he prepares going into that moment. So his kids are very young, so I completely understand his fear. 3 and 5, they're going to believe whatever mommy tells them.
Yeah.
So 3 and 5.
That's true. Yep.
But there's no guarantee that she's going to do that this summer, right? Or we don't know when she's going to do it. So whatever time he has with the kids now, he needs to really focus on that bond with them. Mm-hmm. Get a good bond with them. Do not, Sean, go to your kids and say, now, if mommy ever takes you away and kidnaps you,
if you wake up,
don't forget about me.
Oh, no.
You don't want to put the fear of God in your children and prepare them in any way for some event that may never happen. So be careful about that. But what we're talking about is just nurturing a relationship with the children, that especially at this age, when they're young like this, you are really helping them form their identity and their values.
Yeah.
These are the tender years, right? Mm-hmm. And we know that these years matter. So making them feel loved and connected to you and developing relationship with them and really focusing on that. I'm not saying spoil them. That's a different thing, mm-hmm. but not giving them everything they want. I'm saying be there for them, love them, guide them, whatever you need to do. So that if something like that were to happen, it would be probably pretty easy for you to come back into their life, even if you lost a couple of years with them.
Yeah.
To come back into their life, because they're going to remember you. They're going to remember that time that was good with you and hopefully could work through any false accusations that mom made against you. So that would be the first priority, is just really try not to focus on what's going to happen when, but focus on what am I doing right now?
Yes.
And another aspect of Plan B would be trying not to be in a tense relationship with mom.
Yeah.
You know, what can he do to show extra respect towards mom? Now, I don't know mom. I don't know. She may be a narcissist. She may be a really, really, really difficult person, but maybe not. Maybe she's just equally as afraid as he is that she's here with no family support. I'm envisioning an immigrant maybe, or maybe she was born here and her parents went back. Who knows what her situation is. But obviously, through the divorce, she was feeling threatened and frightened and threatening, well, I'll just go to my family if you're not going to take care of me.
Right.
So what can he do to make things easier for mom so that she's motivated to stay here, that she somehow feels his support, not necessarily emotional support, but is he giving her adequate financial support? Is he making negotiations as easy as he can with her? Or is he so frightened and so resentful or so bitter that he continues in some sort of tense relationship with her? So I would want that to be part of the mix too.
Yeah. If he's constantly afraid that she is going to do this, then he's already mad at her about it and she hasn't done it, but it's going to, what do they call, poison the well of the relationship. Yeah. So yeah, I think that would be a powerful point if he could change his perspective a little bit, at least behaviorally.
Right. And again, I'm not saying be a doormat and just do everything she wants you to do.
No.
But there are some things he might be able to do to show more respect toward her that, again, would make it more beneficial for her to remain here.
Yeah.
Because let's be clear, Mexico is a difficult country to live in for a lot of people. It's crime-ridden. There's poverty-stricken. So unless her parents are wealthy in Mexico, there may be a lot of things about staying here that would be more beneficial to her children, education-wise and socially and all of that.
Yes, medical.
Opportunities.
Yep.
Opportunities, yeah, for education later. All of that could be a plus for her if he makes it easy for her to navigate this co-parenting.
Well, and Sean, please don't miss the point that if she's threatened and you keep losing sleep, then anytime she wants to get back at you, all she's got to do is threaten you. The impact becomes the motivation for her to keep doing it. If she does it and it doesn't have an impact on you, the threat, then she's motivated not to do it anymore. So
in fact, I would lean in every time she threatened. If I were him, I would say, hey, I think you're just saying that because you're scared. What can I do to help you not feel so afraid?
Yes.
And that's really hard to do.
Oh, yes. Very.
When you have a history behind you. So again, we don't know enough about the details of their history and past, but I do think if you have that much anxiety and that much fear, you can push through some of the discomfort of feeling like I'm faking it with my ex and just definitely. Be extra respectful, extra caring, just because it will be worth it in the end. We say that all the time. People get upset with us and go, well, I'm not going to fake it. She doesn't deserve that, or he doesn't deserve that from me. And my answer is, but your kids deserve it.
Yes.
And we fake it all the time. We fake it around the Thanksgiving table every single year, right?
Yes. With many.
With those relatives that were going, oh my gosh, do I have to sit around the table with them again?
Yes.
And I tease about that. I love my family. I hope when my family's listening, they're not offended by me saying that. But a lot of people deal with difficult family members, but because we don't want to get into it with them, we sort of fake it around them. We fake being nice, or we fake being polite or civil just to get through the day. And so that's all we expect of co-parents, is especially when you're in front of your children, be respectful, be civil, even if you have to fake it a little bit, because that's what we do socially to get by. That's what we do in the workplace when we have a difficult coworker,
yes,
or even a difficult boss, because we're motivated to keep our jobs. We don't punch out our coworker when they make us mad. We walk away, go to the restroom and breathe deeply before we come back out into the workspace. So that's all we're expecting you to do with your co-parent. And in Sean's case, he really could put on an Academy Award performance if he's motivated to keep her in the country.
Yes, definitely. You know? Absolutely.
And again, towing that line between showing respect And Sean, in your mind, think I'm respecting her role as mother. I don't have to respect her person. There may be a lot of things about her person that you just don't respect, but this is the woman you chose to have children with. So you have to think of your kids. Your kids love her. So you have to respect her role. And if you can keep that mindset when you are around her, that might be helpful. And you'll actually feel better about yourself when you just know you've treated your child's parent with respect.
Yeah. And you're modeling for your kids what sure. respect looks like, or how you treat someone, whether it's the mother or a woman or.
Yeah.
So we're asking him to think strategically through this about his behavior. And I guess part of the honey versus vinegar motif, but not roll over, not acquiesce.
Right, right. And I think maybe even get some counseling around this with a yes. therapist who is very Please. Familiar with high conflict divorce and these kinds of issues that can help you with some of that anxiety. You start to lose too much sleep, it's going to affect your parenting.
Definitely. Yeah.
You're going to be short-tempered. You're going to be irritable. You're not going to be able to parent the way you want to. You may even be teary and already worried about them leaving before they've left.
Yes.
Yes. That kind of thing. And all that's going to do is cause them to be confused because they're so little.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And take care of yourself, or do something to get sleep back. Talk to a professional.
Yeah.
Because you're right. And what you said in the beginning, create that special bond. But what we're really describing is just good parenting. We're not asking you to go overboard.
Right.
Because you're right. That's going to confuse the children.
Yeah. But just pay attention, be in the moment, be present with them. I think ultimately, though, he needs to go talk to an attorney, or maybe he already has, but we're not attorneys, so we can't give him legal advice. But I also think part of this knowing what I'll do when.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Also is a legal matter. You might want to Google in your area attorneys who deal with international custody issues.
Yes.
That specialize in that, that know exactly what you do when. So go have a consult, have an attorney in your back pocket. If this were to happen, you would know exactly who you're calling. You would know exactly, maybe that attorney will already have a motion written up for the court that can be filed immediately.
Right.
You know, so that will give you some peace of mind as well. Not only are you doing everything you can on your end to try to motivate mom to stay here, but if this were to happen, you know exactly what you're going to do in a moment of high stress.
Oh, yes.
Sean, talk to an attorney now who specializes in these issues. Maybe the attorney you had for the divorce didn't. So you may need to go to a different attorney and get everything in place just in case.
Just in case. Kind of like a go bag. Be right. ready.
Right.
And along that line, what I've actually, when I've dealt with this issue in parenting plans or a parent who I'm coaching, you can do the same thing proactively toward Mexico. Mm-hmm. I mean, develop a relationship with the grandparents, develop a relationship right. with family members. My experience is there's usually one family, one brother, one sister, one cousin down there that hates the family and would be more than glad to help you out.
But if you develop, now you're talking about starting a family war. What?
Well,
I don't know about that.
But there's develop.
I think what you're saying is there might be one sympathetic family member.
Sympathetic, right.
That not at least not give one who wants to be at war with the family, but who would say, okay, I get this. And I'll tell you what's going on if the kids ever come
back. That's it. That's it. If
or, least you've got, you know, I'll make sure your kids know you're not a bad person.
Yes. Yeah. At least you've got eyes and ears on site that you can know they're safe, that you know they're okay.
Yeah.
And go down there, visit yourself, take the kids down there yourself, develop those relationships down there.
Sure. Sure.
Yep.
And just finding ways to calm those nerves by being proactive, I think is really what we're saying, because he's reacting to something that hasn't happened yet. And you can't expect the court to punish someone for something you think they might do later.
Yeah.
And that may be what he was trying to do in court that didn't work. And he said they didn't listen. Well, they didn't listen because you can't call the authorities and say, I think my co-parent is going to beat up my children. Mm-hmm. And they'll say, unfortunately, call me when she does.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's... You can't punish someone before the event has happened. So it's not about the court intervening and making sure she doesn't do something rash. It's about you preparing for it way ahead of time.
Yeah. And that's the main characteristic of fear in general, that we're afraid of something that might happen. And how many times have we been in a situation where it doesn't happen, but exactly. That fear paralyzed us for so long.
Yeah. Sean, I would even say maybe you have a tendency towards anxiety anyway. So is it your family physician, maybe a short course of anti-anxiety or antidepressant medicine would calm some of that thinking to help you sleep at night? You know,
yeah.
Because you have a real fear. We know that fear is real. You've
yes.
been threatened with it. So it's not like you're making it up in your head. But at the same time, if you dwell on it, that fear is going to be like the big giant monster under the bed.
Yes.
That keeps rearing its ugly head every night. And you're really going to keep struggling. And what we've talked about today are the only things you can do about it, because it's all that you can control.
Yep.
Yep. So Sean, hold on to the things you can control, like we just listed. The relationship you have with your children, strengthen that bond. Showing respect toward your co-parent as much as possible, inviting her into decisions, things that matter to her. When she gets upset and threatens, don't fall in a puddle over it. Stop and say, hold on a minute. What do I need to do to make this different for you? Or what are you so afraid of? Let's work this out, kind of thing, without being a doormat.
Yeah.
That's the balance. But hold on to those things. Call an attorney, call a therapist. Get professional people on your team with
yes.
you. So that if it does come to this, you have professionals who say, he contacted me long ago and said he thought this might happen. And now it's happening and we're on his side.
Yep.
Because that's proactive. When you contact professionals in a reactive way, they oftentimes aren't sure whether to believe you. Mm. Why are you just talking about this now? So be proactive in all those areas and you'll feel more in control. And you will have a plan B. And then that way you don't have to deal so much with that anxiety about what might happen when. Let go of thinking legally that the court can fix this before it happens.
Nope.
You may be tempted to go back to court and you may even find an attorney who's willing to go back to court over this, but it's probably going to lead you down the same path that you went down before and just cost you a lot of money and more anxiety. So let go of thinking that that's the answer. Let go of thinking that you can control what she does. And she's going to break the law. She's going to break the law. But let go of that and hold on to the things that you can control. All right. Well, Sean, I hope you take our advice and please write back to us and let us know after some time whether some of the suggestions that we gave you have worked. I want to, before we end, I want to plug Patreon, something that we've just gotten involved with. If you go to patreon.com/CPDilemmas, you will find our Patreon page. And some exciting things are happening there. If you become a VIP, then you have free access to some Q&A live sessions on Zoom with Rick and I that we would love to talk with you, answer your questions. It's the best free advice you'll ever get. And so that was some other perks. So get on our webpage at Patreon and look at those perks. If you're a professional, you can also become a professional member, which we will plug your firm on our show occasionally. And so all of that is good stuff because it does take money to run the show. It's our time, our investment. We don't do this for the money, but it does take money. So Patreon is a way people can contribute to the show and we can continue to offer the best content possible.
All right. Good okay. stuff.
All right. Talk to y'all later.
All right. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye. Hey, listeners, if you're enjoying this podcast, we hope you'll consider becoming a VIP patron. When Rick and I started this show, our intention was to get valuable information out to as many professionals and families as possible. You might notice that we don't have a lot of advertisements because we want to deliver as much content to you as we can. However, it does take time and money to produce this show. That's why we have a Patreon account. Patreon is a platform where you can donate money to support things like podcasts to keep them going. When you become a VIP patron, you'll have access to live monthly meetings where Rick and I will answer your questions and we'll give you a preview of upcoming episodes. But these live Q&As are only for our non-impossible community who register at patreon.com/cpdilemmas. Check out the link on our show notes. For only a few dollars per month, you can help us continue to provide this valuable resource, as well as have live access to us on a monthly basis and many other perks. So join us on Patreon and become a VIP non-impossible. The information contained in this podcast is generic. It must not be misconstrued as constituting legal or psychological advice. Decisions relevant to any specific individual, family system, or case require the direct evaluation of skilled, child-centered professionals.